Hello and welcome into the Heat Check Sim Show with your host, The Real Sim Shady. Today I'm excited to bring you Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, a quick update on what's going on within my Liberty program. And more importantly, my interview conversation with the head coach of Heat Check Wright State. During that conversation, we talk about everything going on within the Wright State program. We also talk about the real versus fun debate that happened kind of within Discord within the last couple of weeks, which, you know, is kind of just going on. Going in on what's everyone's preference when it comes to, you know, having the simulation be as real as possible or incorporating some of those fun elements that allow, you know, recruits, high-rated recruits to go to mid-major programs, things like that. So we kind of dissect that a little bit. And we also talk about a few different things that could be, you know, added or incorporated into the simulation to make it even more fun. So a couple ideas there, but overall, great conversation. I think you all will really enjoy it. I had a great time chatting with him. And then as an update on the podcast, I am in the process of planning a March Madness election show with Eli. So hopefully we can get that out to you this week, which would be really exciting. It was a great idea. I don't want to miscredit anyone, but I believe it was Denver's head coach's idea, and I'm happy to bring that to life. There was also the idea thrown out there to, you know, have – different coaches on standby to potentially do interviews or do a Zoom call, you know, kind of as the simulation or as the tournament bracket is coming out. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna be able to make that happen this this round of this season. It just kind of lines up with a bad time for me at work, so I don't have quite as much time to put that together this go around. But hopefully, that could be something I could incorporate in the future, because again, that was a really good idea. I think that would, you know, add another level of just interest and intrigue to that episode. So excited to potentially do that in the future. I also wanted to just mention that, you know, I'm just in terms of the podcast, I'm also planning on putting out a season review episode following March Madness. So going into, you know, what happened with March Madness, but also big things that happened during the season, big results, things like that. So you know, big surprises during conference play, things like that. So it should be a fun conversation for that season review. And then I also am planning on providing a separate episode with the recruiting recap for the season, which will kind of go into, you know, a lot of the big happenings within recruiting, you know, which schools had the best classes, which high profile recruits went where, which surprises, last minute offers being dropped in and stealing recruits, things like that. So that should also be a fun episode. And before you know it, the season 4 preview episode with Fake Joe Lunardi will be here. That thing is right around the corner. Again, that's kind of assuming that the simulation continues as it has throughout this summer, timing wise. So assuming everything stays on track and we roll right into season 4, we'll provide that episode leading into season 4. So lots of exciting stuff going on within the Heat Check simulation. Lots of exciting things happening within the podcast that I'm excited to share with you guys. But as far as this episode goes, like I said, it's going to be the quick Liberty update as well as my fun conversation with Heat Check Wright State's head coach. So I hope you all enjoy it. Now let's get into everyone's favorite segment, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. I think the last time I updated everyone on what's going on within my program, the Liberty Flames, it was before the season. I kind of gave everyone an idea of what my roster looked like, what my schedule was looking like, specifically my non-conference schedule, where I was expected to stand within the conference standings and things like that. So now that we're, you know, partway into conference play, I wanted to give everyone an update, get it off my chest a little bit, what's going on within my program. This has been the best program or best season for my program to date. So I'm excited to share a little bit of what's going on. So I started off the season in the Queen City Classic. I lost games to Maryland and Massachusetts. Both of those teams were at the beginning of the season. They're, you know, they're teams that are going to challenge for at-large spots in the March Madness tournament. And so was not surprised to see my team fall to those two schools. I finished that tournament with a win over American. So that was a good way to, you know, That's the first time I believe that my school has gotten a win in that multi-team event tournament at the beginning of the season. And then we followed that up with a five-game losing streak. We lost to Seton Hall, we lost to Radford, we lost to Wagner, we lost to Wake Forest, and we lost to Louisiana Monroe. Specifically, that Louisiana Monroe loss hurts. They've had kind of a tough season. They did pull off a good upset over Mississippi, I believe, who was, I think, ranked 12th at the time. But so those were the five non-conference games I scheduled. I lost to Seton Hall by 19. I lost to Radford by 16. Lost to Wagner by 7. Wake Forest by 5. Louisiana Monroe by 10. Louisiana Monroe was the only team that my roster is a little bit stronger than, but we're essentially tied. I'm 211th, they're 215th. The other four of those games were games I expected to lose. Kind of hoped I could pull off a very minor upset of Wagner. Their strength of roster is just 197 to my 211th, but was not able to win any of those games. So disappointing start to the season, 1-7 start to the season. But following that, the schedule eased up a little bit, and more than a little bit, the schedule eased up quite a bit, and my team has turned it around as a result. So we followed that five-game losing streak with a five-game winning streak. We knocked off Houston Baptist, Winthrop, Gardner-Webb, and Longwood to wrap up our non-conference slate, and then we won our first conference game against Stetson. But those last four non-conference games are our protected rivals, and we had lost all four of those games, or all to all four of those teams last season. So it was nice to, pay them back a little bit, get back on the right side of those rivalries. And so two of those games were against teams that are significantly worse than me in strength of roster. Houston Baptist is 331st this season, and Longwood is 301st. And then but two of the other two, Winthrop and Gardner Webb, are actually better than me in strength of roster. Winthrop is 184, Gardner Webb 199. So not significant upsets, but minor upsets that my team was able to pull off to knock off those schools this year. So I was excited to see those results to finish my non-conference slate at 5-7. And then, like I said, I started conference play with a win over Stetson. I did lose to NJIT, who is the preseason third-ranked team in the conference, the Atlantic Sun. I was projected to finish second, but then I followed that up with a four-game winning streak, knocking off North Florida, Florida Gulf Coast, Lipscomb, and North Alabama. All of those teams, aside from Florida Gulf Coast, I'm projected to beat essentially every time I play them. Florida Gulf Coast is the best team in the A-Sun. They are 119th in strength of roster. I knocked them off by 10, and so that's the best win I have on the season. A significant win for our school. Anytime you can beat a team like Florida Gulf Coast, who's basically the class of our conference year in and year out, anytime you can get a win like that, it's exciting. And then we followed that up with those four games up with a loss to Jacksonville. Surprising loss. I believe we were 11-point favorites and we lost by 9. So surprising home loss to Jacksonville. And then we were able to knock off Kennesaw State on the road by 14. So at this point in the season, we stand at 11-9 and 6-2 in the conference. We are, 11 wins is already the most we've ever had in a season. Season one, before I was a coach, we only won one game. Season two was the first season I took over, and we won 9 games. And this season, we still have 8 games remaining in the regular season. We already have 11 wins, so things are looking up, and it's exciting, to be a Liberty Flame right now. Quickly, just looking at the major contributors for my team, I have my best player is a small forward, Matthew Anderson. He's a sophomore. He's contributing 17.3 points per game to this point, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. My second best player is Bobby Bohannon, a shooting guard. He's a freshman. He's contributing just about 16 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists a game. And then my third best player is another sophomore, power forward Eli Galasics, and he is contributing 11.5 points, just almost 6 rebounds and a half an assist a game. So again, my major contributors are all freshmen and sophomores. I have a couple of juniors at the end of my roster, so I will have a couple of seniors on my roster next year, but right now, no seniors. So this roster will be back next year, hopefully be contenders for that top spot in the Atlantic Sun again. I'm assuming I will, but you never know exactly how that'll look when that season comes around. Right now, the Atlantic Sun standings are as follows. Florida Gulf Coast is 9-1 in the conference, and they have a strength of roster current or a strength of record of 151. I am 6-2 in the conference, and in second place, my strength of record is 209. So essentially the same as my strength of roster, which is 211. NJIT is third, followed by Jacksonville, Kennesaw State, Lipscomb, Stetson, North Alabama, North Florida. No major surprises there. And so it'll be interesting. It looks like North Florida, they're already basically 2 wins out of the eighth spot. So they're, again, the conference only has 9 teams, so only one team misses the conference tournament. And right now it looks like that team will be North Florida, as North Alabama has a 2-win lead on them currently. So going into the rest of the remaining conference schedule, I just want to, hopefully lock up that 2 seed, if not somehow get to that top seed in the tournament. I still have to play Florida Gulf Coast again, but the rest of my games are very winnable. So hopefully I can finish strong, stay hot going into the conference tournament, and then you never know. Once we get there, you never know what can happen. Somebody else could knock off Florida Gulf Coast. Maybe we could knock off Florida Gulf Coast again and find ourselves dancing. But yeah, I'm excited to see where this season ends, and I'm looking forward to season four as well. But lots to look forward to. This team continues to get better, continues to learn how to win, and I'm hoping this year or next year we can find ourselves in the NCAA tournament. As a quick introduction for the guest of today's episode, the guest is Heat Check Wright State's head coach. So he's been involved with the Heat Check community both on Twitter and on Discord, specifically Discord. He's really involved with the conversations there. So, if you're interested in reaching out to him with any questions or any responses to anything he said in today's episode, definitely feel free to reach out to him there. He's very responsive. But yeah, I had a really great conversation with him, and I'm excited to share it with you guys right now. So let's get into it. I'm excited to welcome head coach of Heat Check Wright State, Coach Matt, to the show. How's it going, Coach?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to get a chance to talk to another coach within the sim, learn a little bit about how you're approaching things at Wright State. It's surprisingly to me, I was never super familiar with Wright State, so I wasn't even aware until we had kind of talked beforehand that Wright State is actually a Prestige 4 school. So a little, they're kind of mid-tier, higher quality, mid-major program than a lot of the teams that we're coaching out here. So it'll be interesting to kind of get your perspective. You're kind of a top dog in your conference, as we'll get into. But yeah, if you just want to start off with kind of giving us a little bit of background on how you got into the simulation, and then a little bit of background on your team within the first couple seasons as well.
Yeah, sure. So I actually was fortunate enough to get into the sim right from the start. I was following Eli and Heat Check on Twitter, and along with several other. So I'm a huge college basketball fan, so I was obviously just absorbing all the content I could. And see this tweet from Eli saying he was doing the sim and he was opening it up to whoever wanted to do it. So I clicked on the link, and there were, I don't know, maybe 100 teams left, give or take. Obviously, the majority of the kind of big name schools were already taken. So I was kind of scrolling through to see who was left. There were only a handful of Prestige 4 schools, and then the majority of the schools left were obviously, fives and sixes. But I actually happened to come upon Wright State. They were Prestige 4. Their college is based in Dayton, Ohio. I'm from Ohio. I live there now, so they're about an hour away from me. So I hopped on them. They've actually had a little bit of real life success. In the horizon, they've challenged for tournament berths, qualified a couple of times. So I mean, they've held their own in the mid-major ranks, but like you said, kind of under the radar a little bit. So, but yeah, I was definitely excited to just join the sim overall. It just seemed like a fun thing, and you know, it was coming at a time when I was, you know, as a college basketball fan, you were kind of going through withdrawal. You know, the tournament had just been canceled a couple months prior, and there was really no sports going on. So, you know, it was actually kind of perfect timing for Eli to roll this thing out, because I think, you know, like myself, and I'm sure like a lot of the guys that are in the sim, that, you know, we were missing something from our sports lives. So I think this kind of filled the void a little bit. So yeah, it's been fun so far.
Yeah, definitely agree. Just the timing of everything was perfect. And I'm always interested to kind of hear how people went about, especially the people that were involved from the sim right out of the gate, chose their programs. I know a lot of people chose, the highest prestige team they could find. Some people chose, the schools they root for or the schools they went to. It's kind of, I mean, you had a little bit of combination there where you're choosing a school that was basically the highest prestige level you could find remaining, but you also had the connection of living relatively near to the school. So yeah, it sounds like you landed in a pretty good situation. Like we mentioned, just a higher mid-major level program, especially as far as the sim is concerned. I think for the first two seasons, you've had a fair amount of success, and then coming into season three, this is the strongest roster you've had. Do you want to give us a quick rundown of, how your teams have fared over the first two seasons, and then yeah, we can kind of talk about going into season three after that. But I'm just to give us the background on, how you guys fared in the first two seasons, significant results, conference tournament results, anything like that that you want to share.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. I was relatively pleased with the kind of roster that I was handed, because I noticed that for the most part, I think the sim held pretty true to you know, the rankings of certain teams. There were a kind of a few random outliers. Like I think I remember in season one, like Cal being really good. And I honestly can't remember when Cal was actually like really good in recent memory. You know, I don't know if you have to go back to the Jason Kidd days or what, but yeah, there was some random outliers like that. But I thought for the most part, you know, everything seemed to line up with you know, kind of how things were in the real college basketball world. But yeah, I inherited my roster strength was 74 the first year. Which, you know, kind of put me right on the periphery of probably not making the tournament, but, you know, kind of challenging for a bid. Actually finished third in the conference, in the Horizon Conference, and then happened to be fortunate enough to win the conference tournament. So I was able to make the tournament in year one. And then I think I got absolutely destroyed by Louisville in the first round. So it was fun while it lasted, but yeah, I was just glad to make the tournament, and I think I had won over 20 games. So yeah, I would definitely say season one was a success. One thing I'll note too in my first season is, because obviously, you know, I think for those of us that didn't really know kind of how the sim would work and what was going on, my first year settings, I put everything right down the middle, because, you know, again, I just wasn't sure what was going on, you know, what these, you know, how much weight would, you know, if I went all recruiting, like, would that make my team horrible, because I would be able to recruit really well. And I think that's kind of played out, but, you know, in the first year, you really are just kind of guessing. The only thing I went like, I wanted to make sure I ran a clean program. So I think I picked four. I didn't want to go all the way clean with a five, but I think I picked four as a program cleanliness. And that was the only thing I didn't pick a three on. I picked three for everything else. Part of what drove that decision too was my roster was basically, I had three seniors out of the eight players. And I also had my lowest rated player was way lower than the rest of my team. So I kind of wanted to see if I could, you know, kind of over recruit and kind of bump him out. I saw a lot of conversation on Discord and Twitter about, some strategies about, trying to figure out how to do that. And so yeah, I was successful with that. But leading into season two, my team pretty much from a overall kind of strength standpoint really stayed flat. I think I, went down like 600ths of an overall point on average. But my strength of roster went down to 89 in season two. And my team didn't really change from an overall, but I think in previous episodes you've talked about how each year the players and the sim kind of gets better rated. And I think, a lot of that's due to, the activity within the sim and the coaches that are employing that strategy of over recruiting and, bumping out their lower rated players and getting better rated recruits in. So, and those players obviously flood the transfer market, and it kind of makes for a fun, game of musical chairs to see who ends up where. So, but yeah, I think the activity of all the coaches has, increased the overall skill level of each team each year. And like I said, I pretty much stayed flat from season one to season two, and I went down like 15 places in strength of roster. So yeah, it was tough sledding. I think part of that was due to recruiting wise. I needed a power forward in season one, and I couldn't get one. And so I was trying to. At some point, I also needed to bump out my lowest player, which I mentioned he was a center. So I was basically recruiting all power forwards and centers. So eventually, I got a couple of centers actually, and a couple of power forwards, and I was able to kind of bump out my lowest player. Kind of played musical chairs with my roster a little bit, and like I said, we ended up pretty much flat for season two. Going into season two, again, I was, like I said, pretty similar rated from the previous year. I ended up with having three seniors again, so I was kind of in the same boat as far as recruiting goes. But I actually, based on what happened the first year, I had very mixed results with recruiting, so I wanted to become more recruiting focused in season two. So I bumped up to, I think, a two on the recruiting side, where one is, totally focused on recruiting. I think I was a two. And I also went down to a three in integrity, which I thought would still make me relatively safe. And then once they released the bans, postseason bans, and people were getting dinged for having three as their setting, it made me super nervous for future seasons. So, yeah, I was, it definitely changed my strategy there, but I went down to a three, and I was a three in integrity, and I was a two at recruiting. So I was able to have a lot of recruiting success. And fortunately, I was able to have, on the court success as well. I actually won the Horizon in season two, and then fell victim to one of the famous 8-1 conference tournament upsets in season two that seemed to be happening more frequently than upsets in the actual March Madness tournament. So, but thankfully, I was able to still make the tournament. I actually even avoided the first four as an at-large, losing the first game of my conference tournament. So, obviously, that was a testament to, winning the Horizon, and then still being able to make the tournament enduring a conference tournament loss. So, yeah, so I've been thankful the first 2 years I've made the tournament both years. Actually only lost by four in last year's tournament, so much better showing, and definitely hopeful for this year that we'll make the tournament again, and hopefully we'll actually win a game or two and make some noise.
This is the strongest roster it looks like that you've had since you entered the simulation, and a lot of that's based on the success that you had recruiting last year. So if you want to, like you mentioned, the focuses you had on recruiting and things like that, if you want to go into a little bit just about the class you were able to bring in, and the holes you were able to fill, and kind of how those players fit into your overall roster going into season three.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I was, pretty heavily recruiting in season two. Like I said, I put my settings on a two, and I think I was a three for integrity. So I was having much more success with recruiting, and I think the advent of the crystal ball that Eli implemented in season two, I think the majority of people that have been on your show and have also, been active in Discord and on Twitter. I think for the most part, people are a fan of that. I know I was, just in the sense that, it gives people really an opportunity to, recruit pretty much whoever is available to you to recruit. But it also, if a player gets enough offers, you can figure out pretty quickly if you're going to get that recruit or not. So you don't have to waste your time, sitting there thinking like, oh boy, am I going to get this guy or am I not? And yeah, you can just move on and recruit, the kind of the next player down if that's how you want to play it. So I was able to recruit, pretty successfully that year. I think, you had mentioned in your notes that I had the 33rd best recruiting class in season two, which, we joked as well about, Wright State pulling in the 33rd best recruiting class. I think is, interesting to say the least. But I know we've also talked that there were a couple of other, smaller, lower prestige teams that were, pulling in like top five recruiting classes. Like, I can't remember the season. It had to have been, I think, one or two, where I think it was Tulane that pulled in like the second best class or whatever. Like, they just went totally crazy with recruiting. So definitely keeps things wide open. But yeah, I had some success, and I actually have my strongest roster this year. I went into the season with the 61st strength of roster. And I have a relatively young team, which is good. So I'll be able to, be more focused on development this year, and then hopefully, maybe not this year, but definitely the next year, and even maybe the following year after that, have a really solid team. I think a lot of people are taking notice of another team in my conference, and that's Green Bay, run by Eric Haslam. And those of you familiar with the Haslam metrics and everything that he brings, you can understand why his team's probably pretty solid. He's probably got some spreadsheets open and doing some crazy analytics with everything, but he had the same thing. He inherited a very young team, and then just I think went really high development and was able to, have a basically a top 20 strength of roster team. And I think he even, got into the top five in the rankings this year so far. So I'm hopeful that we can follow a similar path in seasons to come, but definitely excited for this year and having a solid recruiting class, and definitely looking forward to the future.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to have a super young roster that you can, build forward or build into the future with. Yeah, like you said, you've only got this season, you've only got two seniors, you've got five freshmen, you've got a sophomore as well. So, I mean, it's a super young roster. And those two seniors are near the bottom of your roster too, in terms of, their overall rank or rating. So, yeah, like you said, it should be a team that should be able to grow despite, you're already second in the conference in terms of strength of roster this season. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing, big things from your program, in the near future and for the next couple seasons as well. Yeah, you mentioned like we had talked about a little bit. Your recruiting class was 33rd in the country, which, may or may not be super realistic. I don't want to take anything away from the great program that Wright State has in real life, but there's I know people have kind of shared their differing opinions on whether or not they like to see the mid-major programs landing high profile recruits and things like that. And so I'm curious, from the perspective of someone who did bring in such a good recruiting class, and kind of falls into that mid-major level program, what's kind of your feeling on that, and what's your perspective?
Yeah, so that's kind of the I think main idea that I was kind of pitching to you as I was shamelessly angling to try to come on this podcast. So again, thank you for having me. But yeah, I thought there was a really good conversation. It was actually a couple weeks ago now, on Discord, where it seemed like everyone was pretty split down the middle between kind of the realism of the sim versus the kind of maybe fun aspect, or we'll call it fantasy aspect, where mid-majors like myself can pull in the 33rd ranked recruiting class, or I think we've seen small schools bringing in very high-rated recruits. And I think there was some conversation between the kind of the two schools of thought of, does that make it fun, or does that make it kind of less realistic and it kind of takes the some of the fun out of it? I mean, I'm looking at the list now, and you look at a school like Towson, who just grabbed the sixth rated recruit in the entire country, and you're just kind of like, all right, how does that happen? And it never happens in real life. And that's where I think it brought up a very good discussion on the Discord about realism versus fantasy or whatever. And I think it's just really personal preference. That's what I kept referencing when I was contributing to the conversation, was it's my personal preference that this would run as close to real life as possible. And I think, given the kind of nature of the sim, and we're kind of doing everything on spreadsheets, I think Eli's captured that pretty close, given all the constraints that are involved in having a simulation run through like Excel and Google Sheets. So again, just hats off to him for continuing to tweak things. I think he listens to feedback, and he adds some things that I think are viable to the sim, and that make it more fun. I think, obviously, from season two, I think the crystal ball was the big name, the item that he added. For season three, it's not really in effect yet, but I think that everyone's aware of it now, is the whole it kind of what he calls income, or what I would think is his kind of measuring tool for schools being able to jump up or jump down in prestige. So I think that aspect of it is a really good add, because in the Discord that I mentioned, I think the real life example of this, right, is Gonzaga. 20, 25 years ago, nobody knew about Gonzaga unless you were like the biggest John Stockton fan ever. And it was just that, nobody knew where the school was. It was a tiny school, really had nothing, to really on a national level to really, speak to. And then they make a crazy run in one of the March Madness tournaments, and then they kind of have more sustained success. And throughout the those probably 20 years or so, they've worked themselves up into the point where in this sim they're a prestige two, but in real life they're pulling in top 20 recruits, and they're getting these big time players now, where they weren't doing that even as they were having some success in the kind of early 2000s. They weren't a national player on the recruiting scale. So yeah, I think they're kind of that real life example of what I think, what I hope is happening with the sim, is that people that say, oh, well, it's not realistic that Towson grabbed the sixth best recruit, and I would tend to agree with that, but again, it's personal preference on my part. But I would think that if the coach of Towson wanted to try to like build his program up, and now Towson's not a, I don't know what prestige they are, probably four, five, or six, somewhere in there, but they might be able to work their way up to a four, a three, a two, if they had that sustained success. So I think that's kind of where that realism comes into play there, where you can kind of recruit your way and improve your prestige through recruiting, and then obviously making March Madness tournaments and having success there. Because that's what happens in real life, right? Is you make the tournament, and then you have all this visibility. I think another more recent example would be a place like a Florida Gulf Coast, right? Where, you mean nobody knew about them, and I don't even think they were a D1 school until just recently. and then they make a
Right.
crazy run. And I know they haven't had any success since then, but there's one of those teams that if they made the tournament, you would be like, all right, yeah, there's Dunk City. Like,
Yep.
they would just pop up there. So even that, even just one like famous run gets you some type of notoriety. So yeah, I think there's a fun balance there between, having Kent State grab the, I'm looking at the sheet here, having them grab the 23rd rated recruit. Like I said, I personally, would I like them to have that recruit? Probably not. I mean, it's probably not happening in real life, but again, this is a sim. I think the other thing it highlights is, the activity of certain coaches, right? Is some coaches are more active than others, and it kind of makes that, gets those scenarios where you have lower ranked schools grabbing higher rated recruits because of just, just the activity within, each individual region.
Yeah, I think you made a lot of good points there. And so just to start off, I would say that I tend to agree that I would lean more towards preferring the realistic side where, you're not going to see that many mid-major programs grabbing high profile recruits and things like that. So, just for my personal taste this year, maybe a little bit last year, there has been it's been a little heavy, in mid-majors grabbing those high profile players. But I would say I think when the simulation started, Eli had no intention of allowing teams to change prestige levels until he was kind of talked into it based on examples of Gonzaga, of Butler, of Creighton, teams like that that have clearly moved up in prestige level in in the last 20 years in real life. And so if you think about what his perspective when he's kind of putting the simulation out there is, if teams aren't going to be able to move prestige level, I'm sure he wanted, every team to be able to have some amount of success. And so if that means that, the mid-major teams have a little bit better of a shot at higher profile recruits than maybe they would in real life, then so be it. I would say now that the ability to jump up in prestige level exists, I think it would be even more appropriate now to, make that transition to make it even more realistic, to where the mid-majors aren't getting those recruits because of what you're saying, where, a school like Gonzaga, who was, I don't know what you would have classified him as in the early 2000s, maybe a prestige four school, they would have been able to get some pretty good recruits at that point, but not in the top 50, not in the top 100, most likely. And so what they had to do was, have prolonged success over the course of, a decade and a half, making those long tournament runs, developing the talent on their roster. So they were recruiting, solid players, but they were the highlight of their program was developing those players into the players they became as juniors and seniors. And so that's what I would like to see in the sim, where a prestige four school isn't able to, land super high profile prospects. They need to focus on the guys that are in, the 200 to 250 range, something like that, and then, develop them over their career. And as they're able to continue to do that, then they can potentially jump up in prestige level. And once they jump up in prestige level, then they are able to recruit better players, as we've seen from Gonzaga. So I think what you're saying has a ton of validity. I think it's important to kind of remember where Eli's head was when the game started, where he wasn't planning on having teams have that ability to jump prestige level, and so it kind of gives you that extra context and kind of helps you understand why it would be that it is the way it is currently. And as we've said plenty of times on the show, he has the ability to change the formula in any time he wants to. So if this is something that does get updated, it wouldn't be something that would surprise me all that much. But another thing to keep in mind is he has said to, he does want, teams of all levels to be able to have some type of success. And, recruiting is one of the most fun parts of the game. So I think, it could be pretty difficult for a team in Prestige Six to want to continue to play the game if they aren't able to land any type of quality recruits on any kind of consistent basis. And so that's where you might have more turnover in the coaches and things like that. And so, I mean, there's multiple things to keep in mind, but I think I agree with you in the fact that, you know, now that we can jump prestige levels, I think it does make sense to kind of turn the dial up a little bit on the realism, you know, while still seeing some mid-major prospect or teams land big time prospects, because it does happen occasionally. But yeah, I mean, it is an interesting conversation. It's one that, like you said, people, you know, fall on both sides of the fence on. Some people are very in favor one way or the other, but you know, this is Eli's simulation. He's done a fantastic job, especially when it comes to, in my opinion, at least the results of the games themselves and things like that. And so, you know, I really hesitate to kind of nitpick, but that's really all it is nitpicking, because there's really no major issues with the simulation at
Yeah,
all.
and I think, you know, we say this, and it's not like I'm mad that Towson got the sixth best player. You know, I'm like, that's
Oh yeah.
awesome, man. I mean, he's gonna go, and you know, I think you and I joke that, you know, hey, congratulations, you got this guy. Oh wait, he's probably gonna go pro next year. So, you know, you may have
Right,
him for one
right.
year, but I mean, still, it'd be fun for you know, a program like Towson to have a guy like that. So, I think both of us are in agreement. We're not upset by any stretch of the imagination. We're just talking about, you know, the sim being, you know, pretty realistic to you know, what's going on in the college basketball world. And, you know, I think for the most part, you know, it's pretty much, you know, right in line with that. The one other note that I'll make is, you know, we talked about, you know, prestige jumping and things of that nature. You know, I think ultimately, everybody's goal, right, is to, you know, make the tournament and try to, you know, win a championship, right? I mean, that's kind of what, you know, teams do in real life. And, you know, you're going to do that probably one of two ways, right? You're either going to, you know, started a low, you know, prestige program and build it up, and, you know, like you said, build a team, build a roster, make a tournament run. Maybe you'll get lucky and win. Or, you know, build up your program to be like, you know, a Gonzaga or a Creighton or a Butler. Those were good examples that you provided as well. Or you're gonna, you know, maybe job hop. And if a bigger job comes open, then you're gonna, you know, maybe jump up in prestige. And we've seen a couple of coaches, you know, kind of take new jobs and move up, and they've taken advantage of that. And again, that's, you know, we see that in real life, right? You know, a small or a mid-major, you know, makes a tournament run, and then a, you know, a bigger job opens up, and that guy's usually on the top for getting that job. So again, I think, you know, the natural movement in the sim, you're going to see that people are either going to want to stay at their school and try to build it up, or they're going to, you know, maybe job hop and try to, you know, get to a program eventually where you're going to have, you know, trying to get into the prestige, you know, twos and ones at some point. So, you know, both ways are fine. And, you know, I think, you know, as the sim progresses, I think, you know, you'll see, you know, maybe a little bit of both, right? Some of the usual, you know, high prestige schools, you know, making the tournament, and then every once in a while having, you know, a mid-major or a smaller school kind of sneak in there and make some noise. And I think, again, that's what we see in real life. And I think that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point too. You know, I think having to, I guess, when you if you start out in the sim as a prestige 4, 5, 6 program, having to kind of pay your dues, so to speak, and not being able to land super highly touted recruits, it would kind of encourage you to, you know, job hop, like in real life, to those, you know, greener pastures, if you will. And so I think, you know, that even adds to the realism effect, where it kind of does encourage you to want to land at a bigger school if you aren't having the recruiting success you want to have. And so that, yeah, in my opinion, that's kind of another factor that kind of supports the idea of, you know, making recruiting a little bit more realistic. Because the other thing is, you know, even if you do have to endure a couple tough recruiting cycles, or a couple tough years of recruiting at a prestige 6 school, I mean, like you said, you can jump to a higher prestige school potentially. And experience the better recruiting there. So, I think you would continue to see that. I think there will continue to be that movement within the simulation. So, yeah, I think that's all a good perspective. And I think, I think it's a good conversation. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, to the way this is handled. It's all personal preference. So that's basically, yeah, that's just kind of our perspective on that topic, I guess. So kind of going back to right state. So I guess I was kind of curious. So we've got, Green Bay at the top of your conference, Wright State, Oakland follows you guys in third. What's your kind of overall opinion on the conference this year? How does it kind of rate in your opinion to other mid-major conferences and things like that? Or what are you kind of hoping to see from the conference this
Yeah,
year?
so we've actually the Horizon, I think, is if you just do an average by team, I think of the Horizon, I think, is 12th as far as just average rated team. So you get into obviously like the Power Six and then probably the American. And then I forget what the specific order is. I have it probably somewhere on my one of my spreadsheets or whatever, but yeah, it's the Horizon's pretty much been, I think in the beginning we were a very middle of the road conference. If there's 32 conferences, we were probably in that 16, 15 range. And the conference as a whole has improved each year, which has been great. So yeah, we like I said, we actually we had because I lost in the conference tournament, we actually had two bids in the NCAA tournament last year. So yeah, I think definitely depending on how things shake out, I'd like to say we can do that again this year. Obviously, I think like I said, Haz's team in Green Bay is a top 25 team. We're in 60th, and I think strength of roster or strength of record wise, we actually took a little dip in the last cycle. I lost a couple of games that I probably shouldn't have lost. I was favored to win, but such is conference life. I'm actually 62nd in strength of record, so I'm really literally right at where my roster is, which is kind of funny. I definitely outperformed my strength of roster the first two seasons, so I was hopeful that I could do that again. There's still a lot of season left, so hopefully I'll rebound in the second half of conference season. But yeah, as a whole, the Horizon's been a really strong mid-major conference. It's really been a tale of kind of two conferences. The top half of the conference has been pretty solid, and then the bottom half is kind of like what most mid-major bottom half conference of the conferences, kind of a mixture of, the maybe high to mid 200s in strength, and maybe dipping into some 190s or whatever. And it's pretty much like that this year. We've had quite a the, I will say that divide between the two halves of the conferences has definitely closed. So we've definitely improved. I know obviously Green Bay's improved. Detroit has actually kind of pretty much stayed pretty similar. Oakland, who's actually the third best team in the conference, they've had a significant improvement last year, and even the year before that, they've been the most improved team in the sim to date. So it's good. We've got a lot of active coaches. They're obviously improving their teams. So yeah, I think we're right there on the periphery of trying to get that second team consistently in the tournament. So I think that's something we want to continue to strive for, and eventually get to a point where it might be more of a kind of a regular thing that there's going to be a couple of teams in the horizon in the tournament, and people don't just think of it as one of the one bid leagues.
The Horizons are definitely, like you said, it's the 12th toughest conference in terms of the average team's overall rating, and so it's a very solid mid-major conference. Just looking at the different strengths of rosters, like you said, I mean, we've got four teams in the top 130 in the country in strength of roster, and there's no team worse than 256th. So that, I mean, That's a pretty solid conference up or from top to bottom for a mid-major program. And so, based on how solid the conference is, based on the opportunities you get to play teams like Green Bay, who's a top 25 program this year, and then you've got another few games against Oakland and Detroit, who are both solid this year. How did you go about scheduling your non-conference games, with the end goal in mind of making the NCAA
So
tournament?
in previous year, well, I guess I should only say one because we didn't really pick our non-conference in season one. But in season two, I you know, whatever my strength of roster was, I think it was 89. So I was trying to schedule similarly ranked teams around me in the non-conference. So it was kind of difficult because you're kind of at the mercy of who's on Twitter, who's on Discord. So you don't just have, access to, oh, who's school 90? Okay, oh, I'm just going to go schedule them. I mean, you could probably fill out your sheet that way, but I don't know if, the randomization of, the non, games that both teams pick, how that would work out. But that's what I was doing. I was scheduling, like I said, teams around me in strength. So that way, it was a combination of, winnable games, but also games that if you lost, they wouldn't probably kill your strength of record. I think you see this in real life, college basketball, right? Where, who was it? It was like Virginia Tech, right? We used to always joke about Seth Greenberg's teams being on the bubble. Well, they were always on the bubble because they always scheduled like notoriously horrible in the non-conference. And, I think, as process has improved over the years, people stop just looking at, oh, a team won 25 games. Well, yeah, but if, 15 of those wins are total garbage, then, that what did you really accomplish there? So, I tried to model that in the sim. So I did that. This year's non-conference, I was asked in season two, but I had already scheduled my non-conference games. I was asked to join or be a part of the Tesla Invitational that happened, and I told I think it was UC Davis's coach was the coach who was organizing it. He messaged me and said, would you want to do this? And I said, I can't do it for season two, but hit me up in season three. Season three rolls around, and he's like, hey, are you in? And I'm like, sure. And I looked at the teams that were in there. And they were pretty close to what I would have scheduled. I played UC Davis, Purdue Fort Wayne, Samford, and we were trying to schedule Loyola Marymount. I think they were part of it, but then they didn't show up on my schedule, and I ended up with a road game at Temple, which I lost. But they were still ranked like pretty close to me, so I was actually happy with that. I mean, even though I lost the game. It would have been a game that I would have probably tried to schedule because again, they were pretty close to my strength of roster. So that's really the kind of method that I use when I'm doing non-conference scheduling is I just try to find similar rated teams. Another way you might be able to, maybe play a weaker team, but get a win, but have them have a like a gaudy record is if you find a team in a lower conference that's what like way better than every other team in their conference, you might be able to schedule them and then hopefully you'll beat them, and then they'll run through their conference and have like a crazy record. Now, granted, if their conference is weak, their strength of record won't be super high, but it could be a way to get a win over a team that's going to get a bunch of wins. And, I'm not totally familiar with the strength of record calculation, but I would think that that would benefit you in some way. So, there's definitely some strategies there. I'm actually, I noticed a lot of guys do home and homes. I try to avoid that only because, you never know how good or bad a team's going to be from season to season. So, I know a lot of bigger schools kind of do that with some smaller schools just so that, they can kind of guarantee games. And, which is fine. It kind of mirrors real life again. But I tend to, avoid that if at all possible. I actually had a home and home with Valpo this year and last year, and they actually they kind of beat me both times. But they were both times similarly rated to me, so I was pleased with having that set up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about too. I do have a few home and homes currently set up that I'm or for between season three and season four that I'm, definitely gonna honor. But I think going forward I'm gonna probably avoid doing the home and homes. I'd rather, just travel to a higher profile program for a season and then, be able to schedule whoever I want the next season just because like you said, the different strengths of rosters changes pretty significantly from season to season. And, depending on how good your team is, you're going to want to schedule, differently rated programs as well. So, I think, yeah, from my perspective, I agree. I'm going to kind of try to be able to play that year to year, kind of after season four, after I honor these home and homes that I've currently got scheduled. And I think the home and homes I have scheduled are going to be fine. I think they're going to set up pretty well for what I'm going to look or what I'm going to try to have on my schedule for next year anyway. So it should work out fine. But like I said, I think going forward, I'm going to kind of take the approach you're going with as well. We've talked about how you got into the sim, how you picked the right state, the success you've had to this point, kind of your outlook on season three. You're hoping to make your third March Madness or third consecutive March Madness tournament, and this is the best team you've had, but it's also probably the youngest team you've had. So I'm curious to hear, what are your long-term plans in the simulation? Are you planning to stay at Wright State to kind of see this thing through, to see how far you can take this group of freshmen you brought in? Do you have interest in moving to a team with a higher prestige? Is there a specific program you're interested in joining?
Yeah,
What are your thoughts
so
there?
I guess when I did the intro of how I landed at Wright State, really it was mostly by, like you said, prestige, highest prestige remaining, plus geography. Living in Ohio and the school being relatively close to me. So, but I really have no affinity for Wright State. I mean, they're fine. It's like I said, it's just that they were kind of close to me. I'll stay as long as certain jobs don't open up, but I'm definitely one of those coaches that has my eye on a couple of higher prestige jobs. One of which is one that probably won't open up anytime soon due to their success, but I'm actually a graduate of Purdue University, so if Purdue should ever open up, I would definitely want to jump on that. Again, that coach has had really good success the first couple of years, so I would imagine they probably aren't in any hurry to leave the sim. But that's definitely a job I would say is probably my number one job. And then I would say probably two and three are other big prestige schools, which one is Ohio State. I'm currently live in Columbus and born and raised here, so I've kind of grew up a Buckeye. So that would be another program that I would definitely go to if the opportunity arose. And then the third is actually Kentucky. My dad graduated from there many years ago, and so I kind of grew up. You kind of emulate what your dad's doing watching sports. So I grew up rooting for Kentucky basketball. So I think it would be fun to be able to be in one of those programs, because as you and I have already talked about, the toils of mid-major recruiting and sweating out Selection Sunday and just all the things that go into being a mid-major coach. I think it would be fun to coach a prestige one school and just recruit like crazy and have high roster turnover and just try to get the best team in the nation that I could. So yeah, I think any one of those jobs, I think I always put on the sheet that Eli sends out at the end of the year. Those are the jobs that I would take. Again, I doubt that any of those coaches are giving up those jobs, but I'd definitely be waiting in the wings on any of those. But in the interim, though, I don't think I would jump to a program maybe in between where I'm at versus, a Purdue, Ohio State, or Kentucky. Those are all prestige one or two schools. I don't necessarily think I'd go to a three, only because I just, it's not much different than where I'm at now. I've obviously had really good success at Wright State so far, so I think I've got a pretty good handle on, what my kind of limitations are with my team and my prestige. So, like you said, I've got a young team with a young core that I can, ramp up the development in the coming years. So, yeah, we'll hopefully nobody leaves early for the draft, and we'll build a good team here at Wright State.
Yeah, definitely. I understand the idea of kind of not being sure you want to join a prestige three program. If you look at a lot of the prestige three programs, they are, schools that are in power six conferences, but they're not at the top of those conferences. So they're, lower to maybe mid-tier within those conferences. And, sometimes it can be nice to be a big fish in a small pond, being one of those top teams in a mid-major conference and winning a lot of games in your conference and having a chance to make the tournament every year just by virtue of winning your conference tournament in a weaker conference. Sometimes you go to those bigger programs. I mean, depending on where you land, you may not even be able to make the conference tournament just because of how the simulation is set up. So definitely understand that. And if you keep racking up these March Madness appearances, you may be a guy that is able to land one of those jobs like Ohio State or Purdue or Kentucky if it does open up. So yeah, I don't blame you for kind of your outlook there at all. I think you're looking at it in a logical way. Another thing, we've kind of talked about this a little bit, and so I think and it's a question I like to ask most guests if I have the opportunity, just because it's I think interesting. But is there anything within the sim that you've experienced that you'd like to see changed or upgraded or tweaked? We kind of talked about maybe making recruiting just a little bit more realistic, and that maybe mid-major programs can't land those super high profile recruits. But is there anything else beyond that that you've thought about that you might like to see
Yeah, a
involved in
couple
the
of
sim?
things, and again, I think, I want to take this opportunity to tell Eli that, he's doing a fantastic job, and these are, things we, want to see to make it better. But even if they don't happen, we're still thrilled with what we're doing anyway. So, I want to reiterate that as well, that, this has been a ton of fun, and I think people make recommendations because they're having fun and they want to keep having fun. So, you're always looking for, little things to make everything better. But, most of my things I think are around recruiting. I don't necessarily care about, the smaller schools, landing bigger players. I do wonder if it's more of a control thing, or an actual kind of processing power of a spreadsheet, if like every school was had availability to any recruit. I know we kind of break it up regionally, and I think that helps kind of disperse the recruits accordingly amongst the teams, to kind of give everyone a kind of a fair shot at certain guys. I'd be curious to see if if you would open that up and just like everyone's available to everyone. And then you just allow, the teams, obviously your prestige ones would probably get kind of first crack at everyone because they're prestige one, and that's just the way things are. And then kind of bump your way down as the recruits go, kind of down the list. I would imagine that might be a constraint with just how the simulation is built, that it might be like really hard, or like I said, just a computing power standpoint for to run against all those different iterations of every single recruit and every, school having a shot at them. So, that if that's something that's doable, that would be something I think that would make it more interesting and more fun. The reason why I bring that up is because I think in other regions you'll see, a player that didn't get any offers in a cycle that would have totally been recruited by, say, a different school in a different region. They just, didn't have access to that guy because he was in another region. So I think there's another way where you can get kind of players spread out amongst more schools. The other thing that I know I'm not the first one to say this, but I love the crystal ball. And I know that's modeled after, some kind of real life recruiting sites that kind of make predictions and based on what they hear and, how a player's leaning and all that good stuff. But I know in real life, the crystal ball isn't obviously 100% accurate. So I'd be curious to see if, the crystal ball is what it is. There's a listing of a team, but they're just in the lead for that guy. It's not 100% like a lock like it is now. So it would give, people an opportunity to say, okay, yeah, Wright State's in the lead for this guy, but maybe I'm have a good shot at him. It's not 100% certain that, this guy's going to Wright State. It's just they're in the lead for him. And then you kind of let the probability functions take shape and maybe the guy doesn't end up at, the top school. And I think in our conversations that you had a good idea too, where the crystal ball, maybe it lists like the top three schools. And even, next to those schools, it gives like a percentage, right? So if a recruit, they align with a certain school and, they're way ahead, maybe that top school is like, 80 or 90% chance to land this recruit. That would probably tell other schools like, hey, it's more than likely this guy's going here, so you might want to focus elsewhere. But if the top three for a certain recruit all have similar percentages, then it might be worthwhile to kind of hang in there. And then again, it kind of randomizes who actually gets that recruit. And you have a little more kind of battles with a recruit. And so yeah, I think it would add a kind of a layer of uncertainty in the sim within the recruiting that you would have an opportunity to really use some strategy around how many offers do I want to extend? Do I want to keep this offer on this guy? I've only got like a 15% chance to get him, or do I drop it out and focus more on one or two guys? So I think it would just provide a little more information into the sim and then allow coaches to make decisions and strategize accordingly.
Yeah, so I've said in the past too that, I'm a really big fan of the way that the current crystal ball is set up, just because, it doesn't mirror reality, in terms of crystal balls in reality don't correlate to 100% of accuracy. But and so I like the fact that in the game you know exactly where you stand, and if you need to adjust your strategy, you can do that without hope just having to have an offer and then potentially just leaving it there, hoping that maybe you'll get him even though you're not the leader. I've been a fan of that just because, I think it'd be tough for a lot of lower program lower prestige schools to come out of recruiting anything less than disappointed, because a lot of times they would be offering guys that would be kind of out of their maybe most likely range to land. And so, for instance, like if I offered a top 50 player and I was behind Georgetown or something, but the crystal ball wasn't 100%, like I might just leave my offer in there and hope that some randomization would occur and I would land him. But with the way it is, I can adjust and focus on the guys that I have a real shot to land, barring any last minute chicanery from anyone else that's in the sim. But we did talk, and you brought up that point about it not being 100% in real life. I've heard other people say that's the same thing, and so that kind of just made my wheels turn, and it made me think, okay, so the happy medium, I guess, is to have that top three listed. So, you have your top three. If you're not in the top three, then essentially you wouldn't have a chance at the player, and then you can still, adjust your strategy. But if you are in the top three, like you said, it could list the percentage chance that each team has to land it, land the player. So it could vary for each player. Player A could have a 90% chance at his top school because he just really loves that program or whatever. But player B might only like his top program by 60%. So that would add an interesting element, but so then you could kind of decide, like you said, based on the percentage chance you have to land the player, whether or not you want to leave your offer in there. And then at the end of the cycle, whatever the top three schools are on those offers for each player, those are all kind of randomized, and then you get the results there. And like I said, I think it's a happy medium. It adds that level of intrigue. It adds the drama. It adds a bit of the realism there. And I think it would just be something that people would just really love. I think it would be something where recruiting is already the thing that people pay the most attention to, but I think this would just take it up another level, and all the smack talk and the exchanges on Discord would go up. The interaction on Twitter would be even fiercer. I think it would just add another level of intrigue. So I wouldn't be opposed to that. But like I said, I'm super happy with the way the crystal ball is now. I think it's a huge upgrade, like we've mentioned, on the way it was in season one. And so I would be completely content with leaving it the way it is currently for the time being, and moving forward. I would have no issue with that at all. Like you said, any improvements right now, from this point on, are gravy, and it's not anything that needs any overhaul by any means. So yeah, I think those are both good ideas. I think the thing about the opening recruiting up to the whole nation, I think that also, the way Eli built the sim was, like I mentioned before, with the idea in mind of allowing lower prestige schools to land better recruits. And so the way it's set up, it doesn't allow prestige one schools, as I understand, it doesn't allow prestige one schools to just access any of the top players. And so in that way, it guarantees that some mid-major schools will be able to land those players. So I understand why it was built that way. But I it would be interesting to see if it was how it would work if it was completely wide open. I think you definitely wouldn't see the mid-major programs landing top tier players anymore. But again, it might kind of lend itself to that more realistic simulation that we kind of both indicated we would prefer. But again, I'm another situation where I'm happy with the way it is. I like seeing the mid-major programs being able to have success and get those high tier players and make deep tournament runs and things like that. So
And I'm
no
sure
real
what we're
issues at all.
suggesting, like especially I think opening it up to everybody and adding the top three and the percentages and all that stuff, we're probably adding a ton of work to Eli's plate there that we're just like, hey, do all this extra
Oh yeah, of
stuff. But
course. Yeah.
no, one interesting thing you mentioned was you threw out Georgetown in there, and obviously I think they're kind of close to you geography wise, and you would be recruiting in the same region as them. And that's another interesting thing that I think can bubble up from keeping recruiting regionalized is you do get though you find yourself recruiting against kind of the same type of schools, similar prestige, maybe even a couple prestige levels higher. But then you can develop those kind of recruiting rivalries, and then those turn into, hey, let's play a game on the court. I think I've seen a couple of instances on Discord where teams have talked about you stole a recruit from me, and then they end up scheduling games against each other. So I think that that keeping it regional lends itself to kind of creating those regional rivalries where you would see recruiting battles spill over onto the court. So I think that's maybe one negative against opening recruiting up nationally is you kind of lose some of that regional rivalries that may develop.
Yeah, definitely. That's an interesting point too. Totally agree. Yeah, I mean, so that kind of covers, everything that I was kind of planning on talking about. I enjoyed listening to, kind of hearing the background on Wright State, where the program's headed. It sounds like they've got the right guy at the helm, and it sounds like you guys are gonna potentially have a deep tournament run in your near future. May not be this year, maybe it will, but it looks like you've got the makings of a team that could make a deep tournament run within the next couple of years. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you can do there, and hopefully, I'm pulling for you to get one of those jobs you're rooting you're or that you're interested in. For those who aren't aware, you can find Coach Matt on Twitter at HCS underscore Wright State. He's also all over Discord. Definitely, if you have any questions, if you want to schedule Wright State, anything like that, he's one of the more responsive guys on Discord. So you can definitely find him there. Is there anything else you wanted to share with the listeners? Anything else you wanted to
No,
get
you
out
covered
there for
it.
the
Like I said,
listeners?
I'm just having a lot of fun. You gave my Twitter handle, which is cool. I think I joked with you that I have a kind of a separate Twitter account that I'm not really super active on. I just follow some college basketball people just to get information and get that content from them. So I joked with you that I think my like quote unquote real Twitter account, I think has like 20 followers or so. And it's just probably friends of mine that, I really don't tweet hardly at all over there. And my heat check, sim coach account has like over 100 followers. It's all obviously heat check people. So, I think it's just a testament to, the community that we've built, and it's a lot of fun. And, I read, I may not post as much as some other people, but I definitely read the conversation and try to jump in when I find a topic that I'm passionate about. So yeah, definitely enjoy everybody's banter, and I just I'm having such a blast doing it. So just to everyone out there listening and playing the game or whatever, just keep it up. We're having lots of fun.
Definitely agree. Thanks for joining me on this episode. Good luck to you the rest of the season, the next few seasons, and I'll be
Great.
rooting for Before we close, I wanted to provide a quick update on what's coming up within the Heat Check Sim universe. On Sunday night, that's midnight Eastern time on October 4th, recruiting cycle 3 will be complete, and we will learn the results of the final round of conference games. So after that, the next cycle after that is going to be the bracket reveal and the conference tournament results. So hopefully we'll have that bracket reveal episode to you early this week. But before then, make sure you get your recruiting done. Make sure you fill your roster gaps as needed. This is the last recruiting cycle. So aside from the transfer market at the end of the year, this is going to be your last opportunity to fill your roster gaps. So make sure you're locked in and keeping track of the crystal ball, and good luck to everyone with recruiting cycle 3. As a reminder, you can find me on Twitter at HCSimShow. Please feel free to send in comments and questions, and I will do my best to incorporate my responses into future episodes. Thanks for listening, and I'm looking forward to bringing you that March Madness bracket reveal episode of the Heat Check Sim Show early this week. See you later.